Good morning. Is this on? Anybody out there?
That's why we need to pray.
Happy. Oh, by the way, thank you for that round of applause. I just want you to know, I wasn't here last week, but I watched the service. And the sermon got a standing ovation last week. When have I gotten a standing ovation? I'm just saying. So, I don't want to hear what you said, but it was probably tacky. Happy Mother's Day, moms. We're going to celebrate y'all in just a little bit. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Glad that you are here. Let's pray and let's worship. Father, you are what knits our hearts together. And we love you. May your love that you fill into us, may it overflow. We welcome you. We welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. We thank you for our moms. And we thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
But still
be seated.
We have got an exciting day. Lots of stuff today. First thing we want to do is honor our moms. I want to start out with just some individuals that kind of are the top of the class, if you will. If you have been a mother for 50 years or more, go ahead and stand for me. Yeah. How about 60 years? Sit down if you haven't made that. 65 years. Bless y'all's heart. 70 years. Oh, it's coming down to the wire now. Sharon's pulling her mom down. Betty, don't you know how old your child is? All right, Gracie, how many years? 77. Is your firstborn here with you today? All right. Congratulations. Okay, we're going to see who has the most kids. Now these, and sometimes we do the his and hers and mine and ours and all of that stuff. Just if your biological or adopted children is the count. So if you've got more than four kids, stand up. All right. Five, if you got five or more, six or more. Oh, I think you're the winner. How many? Six. All right. Congratulations. Now, if you have a child that you've given birth to in the last year, stand up. Newest mom. Okay. Well, here's the way we're going to do this. If you have one that's cooking, stand up. Oh, all right. Due dates? All right. Congratulations to y'all. All right. So I'd like to invite all of our mothers to stand, and we've got a gift for you, and I want to invite the children to come and help Janice and Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa to pass out some gifts. Y'all come, and Miss Linda, if y'all will come up. So when you get your gift, moms, when you get your gifts, if you would be seated so we know you have gotten yours. That's a lot of mommies right there. Okay, I think we got y'all. Moms, we are very grateful and thankful for y'all. Billy's going to pray over y'all in just a little while. I told you we had a lot going on this morning. Alicia Walker, Alicia, come on. Alicia has been coming to our church for a few months. Yeah, and comes this morning to join our church. Yes. So you get applause, but I don't. But, I mean, that's the way it goes. We're so glad that you are making your membership here official. She's been faithful as she's been coming to our church. And Jesus is already your Lord and Savior, and you've been accepted him, and he's been baptized in that faith. Do you again affirm that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? All right. We welcome you.
Thank you.
I'll let you be seated. Make sure Alicia is greeted at the end of the service. Okay. Gabso family. We got a lot to do today. Did I say that? Yes, yes. The youth, you know, led all these people to make all these decisions last week. I am grateful, by the way, for what the youth did last week. It was awesome. Okay. Little John comes this morning with his mom and dad, Matt and Laura, and grandmother, and John comes to receive infant baptism. And I want to take just a moment. I usually try to do this when we do infant baptism and talk a little bit about what it is and what it isn't. This is not a moment of salvation for little John. Mom and dad bringing John forward to receive the covenant that God has placed on his life through Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham and his people was the sign of circumcision. That was, the parents would bring the child forward, receive that sign of the covenant. In the New Testament, now Jesus is the new covenant, and baptism is the sign of that covenant. And so he comes this morning to receive the blessing and the sign of that covenant that has been made on his behalf through Christ. There will come a day when John will need to place his faith in Christ and accept him as his Lord and Savior as he repents of his sins. So that's another day. That's not today. So Ms. Carlene is going to help me. This is a good little guy right here. I'm telling you.
How are you?
All right, let's baptize John. John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I just pray blessings on John and on Matt and Laura and this family, God. And I thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you said, "Let the little children come to me." And John is being presented, just put in your lap. May he grow up strong and a man powerful of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, sir.
At the end of the service, we have two more baptisms, believers, profession of faith baptisms this day. So what a great Mother's Day this is. So I'm going to invite the children now to join Miss Carlene and crew as they go to Children's Church.
Well, good morning, church family. Good to see you this morning. For those worshiping online, God bless you. Pray that you feel the presence of Christ in your homes this morning. If you want to register your attendance through our app, you can do so sometime this morning. I want to remind you about the cards in the back of the chairs in front of you. If you are newer to our fellowship and would like to leave some information, contact information with us, you can do that with one of the cards. Also, if you have a prayer need, you can record that need on a card. You can drop those in the offering plate or give those to Pastor Jeff towards the end of the service. I wanted to remind you of a couple things coming up. Next Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we'll have a discovery class. That class is for those who are new to our fellowship and would like to know more about our church, the ministries, our theological stance on some issues. You can meet with Pastor Jeff in the fellowship hall area. That's this direction, next Sunday at 9 a.m. And our Wednesday nights for the summer starts back on June the 16th. We will do 2 weeks in June. We'll take a week off, which would be the 30th for VBS, and then we'll do 4 weeks in July. So those are activities for the summer. We'll have youth and adult activities. There will be childcare only for the kiddos. So, and a meal will be served as well. So come join us this summer. Well, mothers, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I want to pray for you this morning. I know there are moms who are soon to be moms, and then there's moms who have been moms for a while. And I just want to cover all of you in prayer this morning. So let's go to the Lord. And if you're here with your mother, your wife that's a mother, just reach over and just grab their hand, and let's bless them this morning. Father, I thank you, God, for motherhood. And Lord, when you created man and woman, you created them in your image, Lord. And we see part of who you are in man, and we see part of who you are in woman, even though you're our father. And Lord, I'm just amazed at the nurturing, the caring, the lovingness, the sternness through love that we see in our moms, that we see through women. And Lord, I pray for those young moms who are soon moms to be. Lord, I just pray that you give them wisdom. Lord, I pray that you give them rest when they need rest. And Lord, I just pray for incredible joy when that little one is brought into the world. And Lord, it's amazing. Moms just know what to do. And I'm grateful and amazed that you have built that into mothers. So, Lord, I bless them, Lord, for mothers with young children. Father, I know they're busy. But, Lord, I just pray for joy during this journey, during this season in their life. Lord, I just pray that you just interrupt their day on many occasions just to know that they're special to you. And Lord, help them to lean on you, God, as they raise their children. Father, I lift up the mothers of teenagers, Lord, that are trying to navigate those years. Lord, I pray for wisdom for them, God. I pray for confidence in their ability to raise their teenagers. Lord, just give them words to say when words need to be said. And Father, if there's times they just need to be quiet, I pray that you give them the wisdom to do that as well. And Lord, I just pray blessings over them. And Father, for the mothers of older children, they never quit being a mother. And so Lord, at whatever age they are and whatever age their children are, Father, I just pray that you just give them wisdom. Lord, just give them a burden and desire to continue to pray for their kids if they are. And if that's been a struggle in their life, God, I just pray for just a burden to rise up inside of them, to pray that their children will be all that you, Jesus, have saved them to be. God, all you've created them to be. So, Lord, we just want to bless our mothers this morning. And Lord, I want to pray for the single moms, if there's any here this morning or any at home, Lord. I just pray a special blessing on them. God, they're doing double duty. And Father, they need you. And so, Lord, we just lay them at your feet and pray that you touch them. God, just give them the grace and mercy and peace to just keep on keeping on. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the battle. Their kids are worth it. So, Lord, I just pray you bless them this morning. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together in the name of Jesus. And we just want to bless your heart this morning. Thank you for the love you have for us. I thank you for salvation that comes through Christ. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, connecting us with the Son, connecting us with you. And have your way this morning in our hearts. Have your way in our midst this morning. Father, we praise you for who you are. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you would like to bring, you can do that at this time. You can also give through our app or give online. God bless you, church, as we continue to worship him. Greater.
Welcome again, and thank you, moms, for all you do. We appreciate you very much. Is there another name like Jesus? Are you out there? Just to say that name. Say it with me. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. There's just something about the name of Jesus. If you are visiting with us today, if you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. I know, and I want to welcome again our live stream audience. If you are a guest there at the end of the service, I would love to meet you if I haven't already. And even if I have, I'll just get to know you a little bit better. I'll be out at the end of the foyer down at this end. I have a free gift for our guests. And also, as Billy mentioned, next week, the Discover class, where I talk more about our church and we get to know one another better at 9 a.m. next Sunday down at this end of the church. So I hope you will join us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, many times this passage is, we read this passage during the Advent season around Christmas time, but I felt like it was relevant to us today. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and our minds by the power of your Spirit, that you would speak in power and truth to us, and that you would transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, he's been off the air for a while, but used to have the late night with David Letterman, and he would do his top 10 list. You remember those? So I've come up with a little help, I've gathered some things together. Top 10 lessons mothers have taught us. Top 10 lessons mothers have taught us. Number 10. Mothers teach us to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. Number 9, mothers teach us religion. You better pray that that comes out of the carpet. Number 8, mothers teach us logic. Because I said so, that's why. Number 7, mothers teach us irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Mothers teach us hindsight. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? I thought that one was funny. Y'all kind of asked. Number 5, mothers teach us about roots. Shut that door behind you. Were you born in a barn? Do you moms, do y'all go to school for these? I mean, is there like a class you take? Number 4, mothers teach us about weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. Number 3, mothers teach us stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone. And in my wife's case, spam. There's a spam story there in her family. Number two, mothers teach us anticipation. Just wait until your dad gets home. And then finally, drum rolls. I don't have my drummer up here. Give me a... Number one reason, the lessons that mothers have taught us. Mothers teach us about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out. Did you notice all the moms said that with gusto all at the same time? Wow. Moms. Well, yes. Oh, no, please, please. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Robert. Wow. That was pretty weak, really. I think some of you were forced to do that. So we're gonna be talking a little bit about Mary today, as I mentioned earlier. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Mary, Did You Know? And I'm gonna sing that for you just a couple of... No, I'm not, really. Please, no. No, I am going to read some of it. This is written by Mark Lowry in 1984. And so I just want to read some of these words. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Did you know he will calm the storms with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Did you know that he would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? That sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mary, did you know? Well, today's message is, yes, Mary knew. Yes, Mary knew. Now, she may not have known all the details, but we read this passage today that where the angel is basically laying this out for her. What's coming? Four lessons that we... They're different than the 10 lessons that we just learned from our moms. But four lessons that we can learn through the life of Mary. First, Mary trusted the Lord and said yes to his plan for her life. I love this. I mean, and you set the scene, and I've done this before, but and you've probably heard this many times, but you've got this young teenage girl that is pledged to be married. And in biblical times, when once you were pledged to be married, you were married. I mean, that's... The marriage actually started at the engagement. And here's, you've got this young girl, and she is pledged to be married, and all of a sudden, she turns up pregnant. And she has to explain that to Joseph. She has to explain that to mom and dad. Yes, she has to explain that to the church, to the community. And here's her response. Well, this is a pretty radical thing that's going to happen to her and through her. And here's her response. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So, I guess, has the Lord ever asked you to do anything? Maybe none of us have given virgin birth. I don't know that we've had any women that have done that past Mary. But has he ever asked you to do something that was perhaps difficult, that stretched you? Anybody been stretched by the Lord before? I told you all this a few years ago, but I was passing by driving down Antley, down past the high school a few years ago, and I passed this young lady that was walking, and she happened to be an African-American lady. I did not know her, and she's walking by, and I passed her, and I really felt in my heart the Lord said, stop and pray with her. And I remember thinking, I've got things to do, and that'd really be embarrassing. She doesn't know me. I'm making all these excuses. And I came up Antley, and I turned left on Buffalo Gap Road, and I'm almost to the mall. And I mean, the Lord would not let me go. He said, I told you to pray for that lady. So I was just up past Chimney Rock, I guess, and I turned around, and I went back, and I thought, well, surely she's gone by now. But no, fortunately, I found her. The Lord probably had a pebble in her shoe or something that held her up. And I pulled up behind her, and I'm thinking, this lady's going to think, not number one, she's going to think I'm weird, and number two, she could think that I mean her harm. So I pulled up behind her, and she kind of heard me, and she stopped, and she kind of looked back, and I went up to her, and she was a very, very nice lady, and I said, you're going to think this is weird, but the Lord's asked me to pray for you. And her first response was, Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you for doing that and all this stuff. And so as we talked, and I said, I was almost to the mall, and I really felt the Lord encourage me to come and pray for you. When I explained it a little bit deeper, she began to cry. She began to weep. There was things going on in her life. I don't know, even to this day, I don't know what they were. And I could see that the Lord wanted to tell her and reassure her that he had not forgotten her. And so I prayed with her on the side of the road, and we had a hug, and I got back in my truck, and I went, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll never see this lady again. And about, I don't know, a couple of months later, somebody in the church who knew her sister, and she was telling this story about this man who stopped and prayed for my sister. And she said, I think that was my pastor. It turns out the lady she was talking to, I knew very well. And I had no idea it was her sister that I was stopping to pray for. Sometimes God asks us to do something. Maybe it's something like, go encourage that person. Go be nice to that person. And for students, go sit with that person who nobody else is sitting with. Go be nice to that person in school at the lunchroom that nobody's sitting with. Maybe there's somebody that's a crank at, you know, just a mean person at work, adults. And maybe the Lord's just saying, just be nice to that. You know, normally I've found, and I don't do it very well, but I've found that when people are fuddy-duddies, when they're angry people, generally there's something behind that. Maybe they just need to be loved. The Lord was asking Mary to do something out there, more than any of us will probably ever face. But her response was, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And she acted. She walked out and she trusted him and she said yes to his plan. So how about us, church? Are we willing to listen to the Lord? First thing we have to do is we have to want to hear from the Lord. We have to be seeking him. And if he asks us to do something, I didn't hear an audible voice. I just knew in my spirit the Lord was saying, pray for that lady. There's many times the Lord asked me to do something that I may not be quite that faithful. Secondly, second lesson we learn from the life of Mary. Mary turned to Jesus for help when she had a problem to be solved. So we skip forward to the life of Christ when he's starting his ministry, and actually right before he started his ministry in John chapter 2. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, don't you love that? Jesus' mother telling, I don't know, I relate. You know, you think Jesus was a mama's boy? I don't know. I think he loved his mom. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they had no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. And his mother didn't question that or ask anything. She just said to the servants, dude, just do whatever he tells you to do. She knew that she didn't really know how it was going to turn out, but she knew that here there's this wedding feast going on, and the family who's hosting this has run out of wine, and it's going to be embarrassing for them. And she didn't want her friends to be embarrassed, and so she just said, just do whatever he says, because she knew he was going to make the right decision. So I guess my question is, when we have issues, problems, issues arise in our life, what's the first thing we do? I think if we're honest, sometimes that first thing may be worrying about it. Anybody do that? Any worriers in the group? Worrying never fixed any problem? It just never did. Do we turn to the advice of others? There's nothing wrong with seeking godly counsel, but who we really need to seek is the Lord. Because sometimes even well-meaning godly people may give us poor advice. Do we seek Christ? I am convinced when issues arise in our life, if we seek the Lord and ask for His direction, He will tell us in our spirit when we are headed down the wrong path. I've shared the deal with when I was transitioning to ministry, and I got scared because things weren't happening and the money was running out, and I took a job in that bank with a computer job, and I knew that was not the Lord's will, but I was scared to death. My family's going to starve to death. They're going to kick us out of our house. We're going to be on the side of the road. And I acted out of fear instead of faith. And I knew in my spirit that was the wrong path, because I had been seeking God all along, and Cheryl as well. We both knew that it was the wrong path because we were trying to seek out the Lord's will in our life. So do we spend time worrying? Do we ask others, or do we ask the Lord when things come up? Mary turned to Jesus when she needed help. Third lesson, Mary was faithful. You know, again in John 19, don't you love the way John refers to himself, the apostle whom Jesus loved? And it's not an arrogant thing like, look at me, Jesus loves me, he doesn't love you like he loves me. It wasn't like that. It was like John just knew, this is my Savior and he loves me. And so I love the way he referred to himself. So when Jesus is going to the cross, when he's on the cross, you look down below the cross and all the disciples except John had deserted him, and there was Mary. Can you imagine? And we go back to this song, Mary, Did You Know? That? Can you imagine the joy she had when this little life of this Savior was born through her, and now she's seeing him nailed to a cross? Can you imagine how painful that was? But she was there. She stood by her Lord. Her Lord, I'm getting there. She was there. Do we stand by Jesus no matter the circumstances or the difficulties we face? You know, I'm telling you, I've been telling Cheryl this for several years. The day of labeling ourselves, calling ourselves Christian, is coming when that's going to be a tough thing. You know, in my lifetime, that's been, you know, everybody, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. Yeah, everybody's a Christian. Because it was viewed positively, basically, in our culture. But the days we are in now, I just read an article today. We'll talk about this more later, but we're going to we're offering a Promise Keepers trip in August. I just read an article this morning before I came to church. Some editor guy, I think from USA Today or something, is scolding the Promise Keepers movement. Why? Because they're holding the biblical truth. And I don't know if you've ever been to a Promise Keepers men, but all they ever do is tell people to honor the Lord and honor your wives. That's it. I mean, be a dad, be a husband. They don't tell you to go home and rule with an iron fist. They talk about going back and loving your wife and loving your family. And it's like, that is becoming countercultural to stand for truth. The day of saying, yeah, I'm a Christian, and that not costing you anything, it's really already here that it's costing you something. There's people that lose jobs over it, all kinds of things. Are we going to stand with the Lord when it gets tough? I think everybody's in a stunned silence. But you know I'm speaking truth. Are we faithful to stand with Jesus no matter the circumstances, the difficulty? Because I'm telling you, we're going to, the walking on the fence is not going to be an option for us anymore. Having one foot on either side of the fence. And finally, the lesson that we can learn from Mary. Number four, Mary knew Jesus was dying for her sins. Now, before I get into this, let me say a couple of things. I recognize that we all come from different backgrounds. We're all taught different things, probably as we were growing up in church. If we grew up in church, and it has been in some faith, it has been some Christian faith, it has been presented that Mary's was without sin. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm just telling you that's not biblical. It's not biblical. I've actually read and studied on that this week, where that comes from. And here's where it comes from. Church tradition. Early church tradition taught that. Or some early church tradition taught that. If we believe that God's Word is the inspired Word of God, we have to see what God has to say about it in His Word. About anything. Not just this. And here's what God's Word has to say about that. First of all, it says, and we read the scripture today, that the angel proclaimed that Mary was highly favored and was blessed by God. Guess what? We're highly favored and blessed by God too. But I don't know about you, but I'm a sinner. Any other sinners in the room? But God's Word says this. There is no one righteous, not even one. No one's righteous, not even one. Short of Jesus Christ, and that's addressed as well. And these are the words from Mary in Luke chapter 1. It's a little later than the passage we read today. 46 and 47 is the verse. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Well, if she was without sin, what does she need saving from? I tell people all the time, Mary, it talks about Mary we should call her blessed. All generations will call her blessed because she gave birth to the Lord, and she was highly favored. And we should honor that. But Mary was at the foot of the cross. It was Jesus on the cross. Are you listening? Is this on? Jesus was on the cross, looking down on Mary, one of the people he was dying for. Simeon was an older man, and he had been promised in Luke chapter 2, he had been promised that before he died, he would see the Lord. He would see the Lord. And when he meets up with Jesus and Mary, here's what Simeon says. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "A sword will pierce your heart, your soul too." So it's not just that she will grieve for the Lord, but he will die for her. In the song that I quoted earlier, Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Now, that's not Scripture, but it's consistent with Scripture. Jesus was her son, but he was also her Savior. Now, I say this about, there's a lot of great men and women of the faith that we should hold in high esteem, and did great things for the church and great things for us as Christians. Among those are people like Martin Luther, John Wesley, even more current day, Billy Graham. I mean, there's all sorts of great men and women of the faith. But guess what? None of them died for me. And none of them died for you. I'm a big John Wesley fan. I think John Wesley, I think he had a lot right. But I tell people all the time, John Wesley didn't die for me. we begin to shift our worship into someone else besides Jesus, that's idolatry. Hello. Again, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to point you to the Word of God. Without Jesus, we are all doomed. We have nothing. You've heard my testimony, those of you who have been here, but you know, for most of my young adult life, Mom and Dad took me to church and they taught me the right things and showed me the right things and all, but somehow I missed it for 30 years. I just thought, you know, the Christian journey was being a good person and all this stuff, which I was failing at. But no, that's not it at all. It's about, and that moment for me came when I was like Paul and I stood before the Lord and I felt unclean. I mean, I felt, and I was like, kind of like Isaiah when he said, woe is me, I'm unclean. What a wretched man I am, Paul says. And I knew that. It was like God just took this light of holiness and he just shined it on me. He was like, ooh. You ever done a black, you remember the black lights in your bedroom? Some of y'all at my age or older, you had black. I know you did. You ain't that young. It's like you turn the black light on and all of a sudden it's like, dad gum, I'm living in this room? That's what it felt like for me. God shined his black light on me and it was like, wow. And I knew that I was unclean. I knew I was a wretched man. And I said, Lord, I'm a wretched man. But the Lord said, you sure are. But I love you. I love you. And I died for you. Do you know, church, do you know that he died for you? I mean, it's not about what denomination you're from, or do you go to church or not go to church, and do you give or do you serve, or all those are wonderful things, but do you know Jesus? Do you know what he did for you? That's in just a little while, we're going to have some baptisms. And Jackson and Jet are going to be baptized here in just a little while. And, you know, when we baptize younger people, I don't look to see, can they write a dissertation on the gospel and all of these, you know, can they do all these wonderful things? Do they know that Jesus loves them? And do they want Jesus in their heart? They know they're not perfect and they need him. I mean, if they get that, that's it. The rest we learn as we go. Do you know Christ died for your sins? Mary did, I believe with all my heart. She called him her Savior. Have you repented and put your faith and trust in him alone for your salvation? Romans 10 tells us this. If you confess with your mouth, I tell the kids here in just a little while when we baptize them, I told them a head bob isn't good enough. I mean, God wants you to say it. He wants you to answer verbally. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved. That means we're in trouble. We need saving. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified meaning we are made right. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. We're going to partake in Holy Communion in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to make this invitation to you. The baptistry is filled. The baptismal font is filled. There could be people this morning, maybe you've been a believer for many years, but you've never publicly profess that you've never made a never been baptized. I know some of you ladies, if you wanted to be immersed, some of you ladies got your Mother's Day dress on and all that kind of stuff. You know what? I'll pay for the dry cleaning. I personally will pay for the dry cleaning. Is that okay, Cheryl? Okay. Cheryl will personally pay for your dry cleaning. Man, we just need Jesus. There's something about that name. What's so special about Jesus? He hung on a cross for you. We're gonna partake in Holy Communion now. If you did not get one of the cups with the communion elements, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll bring those to you. The invitation for communion comes from Christ. If you love Christ and you've repented of your sin, accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you're welcome to partake in communion with us. You do not have to be a member of this church, or any church for that matter. But you're also, it's okay if you don't want to partake with us this morning. I hope you feel welcome to do that. But if you don't, no one is forcing you to do that. Is there any other hands up? Everyone has one. Have the children made it back in, Billy? On the way. So our older kids are coming back in. I always like for them to be here when we take communion and when we do baptisms. Parents, if the baptisms, what we hope is by having the children in here, we hope that it generates questions. And sometimes those questions go to mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. Feel free if you are uncomfortable answering any questions that Billy and I are here, Carlene's here. Are there any of the children that need a communion cup as they make their way back to parents? We all good? Some of you, even at home, I know, will be partaking with us. Each month, you're welcome to come and get these communion cups and have them served at home as well. So, Jesus said that He would become a broken body for us. He would sacrifice His body for us. And He asked us to, when we eat of this bread, to remember Him. And He also said that He would spill His blood for us, that it is the blood of the new covenant that we talked about as we baptized little John this morning. The sign of the new covenant is baptism, but it's the covenant is established in the blood of Christ. And so if you'll pray with me. Father, we thank You that You gave Yourself up for us. You sent Jesus. And Jesus, You were faithful to the very end of the cross. But yet the cross could not hold You. Death could not hold You. You live, and You live in us. We thank You for this meal. We thank You for this bread and this juice. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. If you will open the bread side first so the juice will not spill out, if you will partake. This is the body of Christ broken for you. If you will open the juice. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. Father, we are so grateful. We are so thankful, God, for Jesus. We're thankful that He loved us enough to give Himself up for us. That He took on our sin and He transferred His holiness to us, His righteousness to us. We love You for it, and we praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand. Lee, would you please put the You Make Everything Glorious part up there? Let's just sing that. You Make Everything Glorious.
You make everything glorious.
What does that make? Makes you glorious. Sing that again.
I made that invitation a little while ago for anyone else. If you are feeling stirred to do that this morning, make your way around here. It's okay. Cheryl's going to pay for your dry cleaning. Who's going first? Jet? Come on, bud. Can you stand right there for me, man? All right. Is it family? Y'all come on up. Yeah, everybody can still see through the camera, so y'all just come on. All right, we'll wait a minute. You got a lot of people that love you, man. Is that hot? Is that water hot? Oh, I meant to ice that up for you. This is the shy one, right? That's a crew right there, man. I love it. I love it. We need a bigger stage. Y'all keep coming. Come on. Y'all scrunch up. Act like you love each other or something. All right. I think everybody made it up here. So, Jet, look at all those people that love you, man. That's pretty cool, huh? You know who else loves you? Jesus. The answer, let me give you a hint. As you grow up, the answer in church is always Jesus, okay? All right. Okay, so I talked to you about these questions. The first one, that we're all sinners, right? You remember how we talked about what that sin means and so forth? So, do you admit that you are a sinner? Amen. Do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin? You want to have him as your Lord and Savior in your heart? Amen. And you want to be baptized? All right, sit down, step down, and sit. Dad and I are going to sit right there, hold your nose. Jed, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Stay right there, buddy. All right. Remember, we also talked about how the Holy Spirit would come and live inside of you. And we're going to pray for that right now, okay? If you can reach out, put a hand on him. If you can't, put a hand on somebody in front of you. Father, we thank you for Jed. We thank you, God, that you love him and that he's saying he loves you back. And I pray blessings on him. I pray that you would send your spirit to live inside of him, that he would grow up to be a mighty warrior for God. God, you've given him this personality for a reason. Lord, so use it. Use him. Pray blessings on this family and on these friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Got to make room for Jackson. All right, Jackson, if you'll stand right up there and see, look out at all those people that care about you, man. Pretty cool, huh? Jackson, so same thing we just talked about, that we're all sinners, every one of us, and we need Jesus. Do you admit that you're a sinner? And do you want Jesus to forgive you of that sin? And you want to receive him in your heart as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And you want to be baptized. Yes. Amen. If you will step down, sit, hold your nose. Jackson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes. Stay right there. Lord, again, thank you for Jackson. Thank you, God, that he was on your mind as you went to the cross. Father, that you love him, I pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit. And he too, God, you've given him his personality for a reason as well, God. And I pray that he would grow up and he would be a mighty warrior for you. Bless him and his family in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, church, last call. The water's fine. Come on in. I think that's a not today. What do you think? If you'll stand for this benediction. I just want us repeat the great children's hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know. Repeat that with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
From glory to glory. Everything
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.